Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good. I don't feel like a top radio DJ from London or in London, because I am in my front room. I'm not in my front room, I'm in my kitchen, actually. Kitchen. And I'm wearing a what can only be described as a robe. And the sun is just peeking through the clouds. It's going to be a good day, Chris. It's going to be a good day.
Have you got a cold? You sound a bit
cold. I have got a little bit of a cold. Sorry, guys. And I'll apologise also because of the echoing over the past couple of episodes. We recorded two in a row, didn't we? And because I wasn't wearing little earbuds, you could sort of hear the echo in the background. Compounded by the fact that Chris, once again, was in a hotel because that man is a multifunctioning mobile media node at the moment. Aren't you, Chris?
I am, I absolutely am, which basically means I spend most of my time in crappy hotels, doing editing, living a fairly depressing life. I'm in Tokyo still, after all these weeks since coming back from London. A bit fed up of Tokyo now, to be honest.
Really?
After 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like I need to get out to the countryside, sit on a mountain, eat some energy jelly and just be happy. I feel like in Tokyo it all comes at me at once, although you're very much a city boy,
yeah,
so you probably love it, but yeah. I'm kind of sick of Tokyo now and I can't wait to get out of here and out of this hotel room, my prison.
how long have you been balled up in this hotel room? You once teased at the end of one of your Abroad in Japan episodes the absolute, I'm going to use the word shit pit, so apologies to anyone who's with young children. The shit pit that was my hotel room, because I just unboxed a camera and it just seemed to have a lot of little bits of boxes and stuff like that. And my hotel room was in an absolute state. Is yours in a fear and loathing in Las Vegas kind of state at the moment?
It is a bit of a tip. There's like bananas and energy jelly packs everywhere.
Why do you eat so much energy jelly?
Because it's more, really good. Why bother eating nutrition when you can squeeze jelly into your mouth? Nutritious, delicious jelly.
Your bone marrow is just going to be pure energy jelly. Disgusting.
It's pretty depressing, though. I think most people, the expectation of my life as a YouTuber, right? Mm. 1 million subscribers. Oh, Chris is probably riding over Mount Fuji on a pony as we speak. Mm. Reality, I'm just sitting in a hotel room eating energy jelly and wondering how it came to this.
These are my batteries.
It's not all bad, though. I've been staying... Actually, it's quite interesting. I'm staying in this place called Meguro, which is just down the road from Shibuya. Mm. And just about five minutes round the corner from here is the largest Starbucks in the world. The brand new Starbucks
I
Reserve.
I read about this. You can't get in. Everyone's queuing to get in. What's that about?
Right, I can't get anywhere near it, even though I stay 5 minutes away from it. To be fair, I do get up quite late at like 9 a.m., by which point there's already a queue that would make Disneyland's queues look relatively short. It is ridiculous to see so many people queuing for a Starbucks, you know, it's kind of creepy. But it is four stories of Starbucks, and it's not like your average Starbucks. Like, Google this, when you've done with the podcast, go on Google, or just look on your phone right now, and type in Starbucks Reserve Tokyo, and there'll be some news that comes up about it. It is a joke. It's like, It just looks like a big shopping mall, but it's just four stories. There's a cocktail bar, there's a bakery, there's a... Well, I don't know, I haven't been in there yet, but I want to go in there. I can't. I'm not worthy. You need to get a special ticket.
Right. Right?
Around the side of the building, there's a ticketing, like a ticket booth, like a theme park, and you get your ticket, and then you stand in a queue about half a mile long and get waved along slowly all morning until you finally get in through the five or six people out the front with glow sticks waving cars around. You get in and then magic unfolds. But I just can't be bothered to wait. I'm not the sort of person who likes to queue, so it ain't going to happen.
Mm. I'm fresh from Taiwan, as discussed on the last podcast, and I think you are completely spot on with your takedown of what Taiwan's actually like. Taiwan is pretty much Japan, but without the queuing and the fussing and the having to fill in forms. If I hadn't been to Tokyo before I'd been to Taiwan, I think it probably would be my favourite place I'd ever been.
You still prefer Tokyo?
Oh, yeah, I still prefer Japan. Like, I'm always, you know, this isn't abroad in Taiwan. Chris, for crying out loud.
Well, not yet.
Not quite yet, no.
It could have been at one point. It could have been one day. I was very close to moving there. Because I think, as I've said before on this podcast, and certainly to you, Pete, that Taiwan is... Taipei is my favourite city in Asia that I've visited so far. And I've visited quite a lot of cities. But Taipei, it's just a mixture of all the best things thrown into one. It's kind of chaotic. It's a 24-hour city. Things just keep going. People are kind of friendly and laid back. I think my favourite thing, though, was just the atmosphere of walking down the street and there's just people sitting outside, you know, drinking, eating, having fun, which just is something that we don't, like, hasn't been invented in Japan yet, the concept of eating outside.
There are street markets, but I think every city in Taiwan seems to have a night market where you just, it's a foodie's heaven. If you're a big foodie, I think it's much more of an interesting, textured place than... A lot of Japan, because to be quite frank, I imagine a lot of the meals that they serve in a lot of the Taiwanese cities probably wouldn't pass muster when it comes to cleanliness. It's a taste of South Asia, I think, when it comes to the street market. I think, but then you've still got the Lawsons and the 7-Elevens and stuff like that, so you can satisfy your need for energy jelly, Chris.
Well, my first memory of Taipei was I went in a 7-Eleven, right? And I thought, oh, 7-Eleven, everything's good because it's 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Like Japan. I went in and I ordered like a toasty or something, like you do when you've just arrived in Taipei.
Have a toasty.
And they put it in the microwave, like you heat it up, right, just like normal 7-Eleven. They went to heat it up and the microwave just broke for no reason. And they were like, your toasty, no. And I was like, oh. And that was it. Like, that was it. My first experience, nothing ever breaks in Japan. You go to Taipei on the first 10 minutes, your toasty can't get cooked in the microwave. Kind of summed things up for me.
Yeah, it's a bit more like Britain.
Other than that, great.
Yeah, one of the most defining episodes of my trip to Taiwan was I was in Taichung, which I think is their third largest city. I mean, from the top of Taipei to Kaohsiung, at the bottom, I think I'm pronouncing that right, it's like an hour and a half. They've got proper, like, Shinkansen bullet trains, and it takes, like, an hour and a half to get from the top to the bottom. West to east is difficult. It is a different thing because there aren't many roads or train options or opportunities. But top to bottom, it's really, really short. And I think Taichung to Taipei is like 20 minutes, half an hour, something like that. Either way, you get to Taichung, and there, next to the train station is... an abandoned nightclub. Basically, a nightclub burned down in 2005, and it just went to wreck. They just mothballed it, and you can walk in there. Nobody's stopping you. You just walk around this gigantic kind of like underground car park almost, but it's a nightclub with all the original fittings all smashed up, all the mirrors smashed up, everything smashed up. And you just walk around. Nobody is stopping you doing that. Now, anywhere else in the world, people they're just going to put shutters up and squatters are going to live there. They're the only people who are going to be allowed in there. But in Taichung, for some reason, you can just have a wander around. I disrupted an erotic photo shoot. There was a lady with her top off. Somebody was taking pictures of her. And I was like, is this what this kind of place is? So that was fun. And I took lots of
surely you could, like,
spooky pictures.
Get a few beers, crack out the iPhone and just listen to music and turn it into your own private nightclub.
I can't imagine. There's loads of people filming, like, rap videos on the roof because it looks so urban.
Brilliant.
So I reckon you could probably.
And that's where your
that.
Photo came from. There's a photo, ladies and gentlemen, on Pete's Instagram and Twitter of him just sitting on the roof in a chair, trying to look very cool.
That wasn't even me trying to be cool, it looks like an album cover. I thought I took that picture, or rather my friend did, and I was like, you know what? I'm having that. It's every maybe 2 years I'll take a picture and I'll go, you know what? That is okay. I'm not a man
that
with
photo will define you.
A huge amount of physical confidence, so to speak.
You did get spotted in why am I saying you did get spotted in Sweden? Oh, because the next thing. You did get spotted in Taipei, though, right?
I didn't so much get spotted.
Your fame knows no bounds.
There was a bloke who ran the Airbnb next to the Taipei 101 building, which we were staying at, right. Which is obviously like the Leicester Square, the Shibuya of Taipei. And he was a lovely, lovely bloke. And because of his work, I believe he used to work for like Fox Sports out there. He used to have to listen to the Football Ramble, which is a football podcast I'm involved in. And also, I think he watched your channel religiously as well.
Hey.
So I think he spotted me on that. And he actually turned up to our meeting for the exchanging of the keys with he was an ice hockey fan. He's from America, somewhere in, I think, Minnesota, maybe. And he, quite hilariously, turned up with a Donaldson jersey. I think the Donaldson bloke is a... is some kind of ice hockey player, which is quite nice. Very rarely happens
cool.
on there, baby. Yeah, really nice.
Quite a nice start to your trip in Taipei, getting spotted.
Yeah, very weird.
Lovely. I enjoyed similar fame this week, completely by surprise. I was I woke up like 2 days ago, and my phone was loads of messages from people from Sweden. And as we know in previous podcasts, there seems to be a lot of people from Sweden who both listen and to the podcast and watch the Born Japan channel. Anyway, turns out there was a documentary on Swedish TV, which I was in. It was a documentary I made, I think, about 3 years ago now, called Cat Nation, where I travel around Japan just looking at cats. And it's
right,
just all these thumbnails, people just taking screenshots and sending them to me of me just looking at a cat in a very nonchalant way and just me petting cats, and it was a bit surreal. At first, I was a bit confused because I kind of forgot about it, to be honest.
What is the site?
But
project?
Yeah, no, I did
is
a documentary about cats.
Is on it on, like NHK? On the telly? In Japan? On like NHK telly. Or something?
Actually, it was an Australian TV producer came over and he kind of just said to me, do you want to present it? And I was like, yeah, all right. I don't even really like cats, but we thought it'd be quite fun.
I'm actually very allergic.
All right, it was well made, but it's just weird. There's loads of cats. There's like a cat who's a train conductor who died, so they got another cat in. I think I remembered that. I remember talking to you about that before, but yeah, it was just really surreal. And I had to go to a temple and look at some cats. There was a cat that sold cigarettes somewhere in Ibaraki Prefecture. It was really weird, but yeah, enjoyable experience. But it's just doing the rounds all the time. People keep, I don't know, presumably the Australian TV producer is just selling it even now, all these years later.
Yeah, for a bit.
I remember a year or two ago, someone was on a flight on Emirates and they saw the documentary on there. They sort of messaged me saying, oh, Chris, I was on the flight going to Bangkok and I saw you on a documentary on Emirates. So you never know. You never know, you might switch something on one day and see me stroking a cat.
That's fantastic. I like that you're just reselling it and reselling it. I remember I was on a TV show called Football's Funniest Moments on Sky, and there was no repeat fee involved. And they must have repeated that, literally, I'm not even joking, on Sky One and Sky Sports One here in the UK about 27 times. I counted.
Jesus.
Every time it was on, I would get a tweet and I'd put a little note in my iPhone. And I was like, that's 27 times. And they filmed it in a pub and they paid me 200 quid.
200 quid. It must have been good, though, to be screened so many times.
No, it's just cheap television because Sky's got the rights for the football. It's just cheap telly. They could just repeat and repeat and repeat.
Presumably, like Cat Nation.
Cat
anyway,
Nation!
Anyway, cats aside. It is, if you might go, and, I think you can go and buy it off Amazon. So if you want to go and watch that documentary, go on Amazon, buy it there, and watch me walk around and look at cats. And Natsuki's in it briefly, so yeah, what
Katsuki.
More could you want? But cats aside, today is your favourite day, Pete. It is White Day in
White
Japan.
Day!
Do you remember what White Day is from last year?
It's when all the white people are expelled from Japan and they have to leave. I'm joking.
They're all stuffed and launched over the Pacific Ocean.
White Day is a month after Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is when women have to give stuff to men, chocolates and stuff, and then this is the reckoning. The men have to up their game and do their thing and give some stuff to the women.
Yes, well done. You do
be romantic.
I remember that was like the one of the first podcasts we ever did, wasn't it?
Yes, I can remember this time last year. Well done. Well done, me.
Well done, memory. Luckily, I am single, so I don't have to actually do anything.
Oh.
But there's a great little news story I read about the other day that fits into White Day. So, yeah, there's chocolates and things that are bought. That's normally White Day, what goes down. But this year, fun little thing going down. There's... I came across this headline, Japanese porn company wants to use virgin power to create electricity for romantic Tokyo event.
Virgin power.
And I mean, that's the sort of title that instantly grabbed my attention.
Is that clean energy?
So basically,
I don't know. Is that Andrea Ocasio-Cortez's clean energy plan? I don't know. It doesn't sound clean.
It's ridiculous. I kind of read it and I thought I was being trolled or something. I thought it was like a bloody April Fool's joke. But this Japanese company called Soft On Demand,
come on now,
pretty dodgy, is setting up a special White Day light display with a romantic pink heart, softly bathing passers-by in its glow. So it's a big pink heart in Shibuya, just down the road from where I am now. And basically, they have got people cycling on bicycles to power the love-shaped heart, the romantic pink heart, which sounds great, right? You know, using clean energy, using humans to power the light.
Yeah.
But the participants, the riders, will be finding their motivation to cycle by wearing VR headsets that will be playing pornography from Soft On Demand. And so this company's tried to get, like, virgins taking part in it, because I think, what was the line? Virgins have a desire to utilise their spurting energy, or something like that.
Wow.
It's bizarre. And so they're going to round up all these virgins, put them on bikes, make them watch reasonably good porn, and see if they can power a love heart. Brilliant.
I mean, that's
Would
a bit
that,
of a...
Pete?
Well, it's an FU to the single men who are enjoying the pornography, that they're... Basically, their endeavours are lighting up a pink heart for the romantics, the people who, you know, have a... You know, the people who are going to look on in a relationship going, hey, look at this, darling, I brought you to this pink heart powered by grot. I googled Soft On Demand, because if you're going to call a pornography company Soft On Demand, that's... That's the inverse on what you want. The head of Soft On Demand...
that's the irony.
Yeah,
the brilliance
it's
of
weird. It should be Hard On Demand, presumably, because that's, you know, it's not good. Gennari Takahashi, who founded it in 1995, he retired from the company 10 years later in 2005 and is currently working in agriculture, which, of course, Soft On Demand. You want your fruit soft. So it's... Good, right? So it's you know, he's got into something that requires him to be soft on demand, or his products to be soft on demand.
I just like the way they've figured getting virgins would be the key to success here. apparently, when you apply, you don't actually have to prove that you're a virgin. Don't even know how you do that, to be
no,
fair.
No, we don't really have the
You just have to sort of say, yes, I'm a virgin, and off you go. But the pornography is of two models, Tina Nanami and Hinata Koizumi. And the good news is they are actually there to shake your hand after you've cycled
hand.
For
That's
God knows how long.
That's an unfortunate turner for it, isn't it?
I know, but how? What I couldn't find out was how long these guys are supposed to cycle for. If you do participate, you know.
Yeah.
I don't...
With LED technology, Chris, I don't know how many turns you'd have to. I mean, with LED technology nowadays, very little, but very power efficient, so
well,
I don't think they'll need to work that hard.
So
yeah.
There's two cyclists at once powering this love heart.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Oh. I need to go and track it down because I'm only about 10 minutes from Shibuya right now, so I should probably go and do a follow-up by going and taking a photo. Yeah. Probably won't be participating.
Interview the participants. What did you see in there? How is your spurting energy?
I just love the photo. Do you see the photo? There's just these two guys with the Sony VR headsets on bicycles.
Mm.
And the two bikes actually inside the Love Heart. It's kind of like a cave. Big, like, love heart, romantic pink heart cave.
Yeah.
With bikes and porn.
But shame isn't really... I was always told that shame is very much part of Japanese culture. Not everywhere, one would imagine, or one would argue.
Well, you won't be able to see who it is because they'll have a VR headset on.
Good point.
That's right, you look like RoboCop. But
RoboCock.
I'm tempted to go down. I don't know where it is in Shibuya, but... Hopefully it's not in too public a place.
It'll be in the Love Hotel district, no doubt, where the neon lights dapple with the puddles on the pavement.
The puddles on the pavement. We do have a question, though.
Ooh.
On the theme of romance. I don't know if it's romance. I don't
Hello.
Know if burlesque's romance. Hi, Chris and Pete. Big fan of the show, long-time listener, first-time emailer. Abroad in Japan was my introduction to podcasts. Now I'm hooked. I'm a burlesque dancer, emailing from Bristol in the UK. My boyfriend and I are planning our first trip to Japan later this year, and I was wondering, is there a burlesque scene out there? Are there any forms of cabaret worth checking out? Keep up the good work. All the best, Angelique. And this is great timing because I actually did go to burlesque literally 3 days ago for my friend Stag Do. Turns out there is a really good burlesque show in Tokyo called Burlesque Tokyo. It's in Roppongi, which is a neighbourhood I would generally just avoid. But it was really quite impressive, actually. They had, like, 25 dancers. The dancing was all very professional. My image of burlesque has always been rather unflattering and sleazy, and the same way it was about Love Hotels. But actually, it's very artistic. It's very... I don't know, something quite artistic and beautiful to the whole dancing, but... It was really good. Type in Burlesque Tokyo and it should come up. Have you ever been, Pete? Burlesque, is it your sort of thing?
I've never been to... It should be my sort of thing because I love a larger goth lady. That's kind of my thing. And that's kind of what burlesque is, isn't it, really? A lot of tattoos, a lot of 50s hair. But, no, I've never actually been to a burlesque show. I've met a couple of people who do it and they all seem very intelligent. Like incredibly intelligent and thoughtful and focused and yeah, it's a thing that kind of was really really big about 5 years ago, certainly in London. And now it doesn't really you don't really hear about it as much anymore. Now it's all about matcha.
The bloody one in Roppongi was stuffed full of people. I was absolutely shocked at how busy it was. It seems to be like up and coming at the moment. I'd definitely recommend it. I'll definitely take some people there. Best of all, you get to go up on what, because I was there with a group of foreigners for this guy's wedding. It was a stag do, and there must be about five or six of us from various countries. But they actually came up to us at the staff, and they kind of asked what countries we were from. And one was from Ireland, one was from Australia, the UK, I think Canada. And then towards the end of the show, the staff came out with our flags from our respective nationalities and literally dragged us up on stage. I didn't want to go. I was like, no, I'll film it, don't worry. But they, like, two people came and, like, dragged me up onto this stage and I had to dance around in front of a crowd of 150 people, just me and my five or six foreign friends. It was all rather bizarre. So be advised, if you are foreign, you will end up on stage. And
so hang on, was this
awkward.
Was this like 2 days ago when we were supposed to be recording this podcast? Was this the stag do?
No. The stag do was 3 days ago. Four days ago.
Basically, me and Chris were supposed to record this yesterday, but Christopher was still on a train at very early in the morning after staying karaoke a little bit too late, so we had to cancel. What have you got to say for yourself, Chris Broad?
I was hungover. Like never before.
I will never have a pop at someone fun. Who is terribly hungover, because I've lived that life, my friend. I've lived that life and it's not fun.
Well, I did the terrible thing that all influencers should never do when they're drunk, and just go on Twitter and Instagram and make stupid videos like I did. I apologise to anyone who saw the video of me just looking at the camera and weirdly taking off my glasses and then just looking weird. I don't know what I was doing. Luckily, I removed it, but not before about 50,000 people had watched it. Yes, yeah, of course I bloody got rid of it.
Well, it was during the day when you spotted it, so that's what's funny about it. Hey, shall we move on to the next question?
Next question.
Hello to Jamie from the UK. Hi, Chris and Pete. I've been watching the Abroad in Japan channel for a while now, so I've decided I would binge listen to the whole podcast this week. Wow. It's been a bit of a blur. Natsuki's saying, wow, and the Nana Soup advert. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm planning a week trip to Japan next year. So my question is, what's the most important piece of advice you would give to someone travelling to Japan for the first time? Keep up the good work, guys. Jamie from the UK. Be careful of the VR bakes in Shibuya and get out to the countryside. I've just realised that that's the notes you've written to direct yourself and to direct me. I thought that was like a PS from him. So my advice is, Jamie from the UK, be careful of the VR bikes in Shibuya. Don't get involved in that caper. And get out to the countryside, which is certainly something you genuinely love, Chris. I mean, you say I'm a city boy. I'm not, actually. I'm from a town or a village. But when I moved to the city, I got a real kick out of having something to do. And so that's why I appreciate Tokyo. That's why I appreciate the cities of Japan. I always like something to do in the evening. But you really do get a kick out of smelling the air and having access to drone technology, being allowed to fly a drone somewhere.
It's true. It's how I blow off steam. I throw a drone.
Throw a drone.
I fly a drone. And I also throw it sometimes when it doesn't bloody work. Yeah, I've been in Tokyo for over a month now. I think it's the longest stint of time I've stayed in Tokyo. And the problem is, whatever direction I go in for the next 5 kilometres, there's like no fields, there's nothing, you know, it's just concrete, and VR bikes, and Starbucks, and it's just, yeah. Where I lived the first 3 years, I could get out, I could go up a mountain, I could dance in a waterfall, I could swim in the sea, any time I wanted. Even in winter, I could swim in the sea, it was brilliant. Here, I can't do any of that, it's rubbish. But Tokyo is quite good. But no, my advice is go to the countryside, because nobody ever does it. It's the tragedy of people that visit Japan for 2 weeks. They go to Tokyo, they go to Kyoto, they go to bits and pieces of Hiroshima, and then that's it. But you miss all the magic of the Japanese Japanese countryside, and all my favourite memories, all those powerful, profound moments that I can reflect back on and relax and think about them, they're always in the countryside. There's always, you know, just me sitting on a mountain somewhere looking at a view, you know. So I'd say try and find a way out, go out somewhere like Nikko or Hack on Air. They're both pretty good places to escape to, so put them in your itinerary. But have a great time, Jamie.
Yeah, sounds fun, Jamie.
And avoid the VR bikes.
You dirty boy. Do you want to read the next one, Chris? Because I clearly can't be trusted.
Absolutely. Ben from the Midlands says, "Dear Chris and Harry Potter's favourite Cheeky Pete." What does that mean?
Not a clue. I mean, Harry I used to be called Cheeky Pete on an old radio station, but I don't know where the Harry Potter connection comes in.
We'll dive in, see what happens. I hope this fax finds you well. Love the YouTube videos and the podcast, particularly the wonderful thank you letters from Chris's students in the recent podcast.
Oh, yeah.
"It was great to club together" is my new favourite phrase. I love that phrase. "My wife and I are visiting Tokyo in May to celebrate her birthday. Can you please share any tips for romantic locations or activities that we could plan, or maybe I could surprise her with? Tokyo would be good, but we're also considering the Shinkansen trip to Kyoto and Osaka as well. Kind regards, Ben from the Midlands." Literally the same. See the previous answer, to be honest.
Get out to the city. Answer. Yeah, don't go. Don't get on the Shinkansen. Get on a different train. My favourite day I spent in Japan one time was when I went to a place called Kofu. I went to try to go and watch a Tokyo FC match. I got on the wrong train, realised I was in completely the wrong place, and found myself in a completely different place. But they happened to have a J League team playing that afternoon. Ventfret Kofu now play in the second division, and they're not very good. I have though up my.
I was listening for that.
Yeah, well, I have upped my. I just keep on buying J League team shirts, like jerseys, I suppose you'd call them. Everywhere else, it's becoming a little bit of a problem.
A ruthless addiction.
It's absolutely crazy. Yokohama Flugels, 1993. That was my last purchase.
Flugels.
Flugels.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I've no idea, but I bidded and won on a Nippon Ham Mizuno Osaka t-shirt. So I do like anything. The shirt looks like ham, and it says Nippon Ham on it, and I've got a lot of time for that. Nippon Ham have a long Absolutely. And moneyed history with Japanese soccer. I think I asked a little
Nippon,
while ago.
Are you talking about Nippon Ham? Ham?
I think they owned... What? Owned a couple of J League teams, soccer teams. They just seem to change hands all the time. A lot of the Japanese soccer teams started off as work teams, so they were all just teams that were like for Yamaha or companies like that, basically.
Did the soccer players get like a free packet of ham?
I don't know. Can you imagine?
Before every game,
just really salty, a really salty snack before you start playing football. Ew.
Be good for you. Keep your salt in.
Get you going.
I talk to Ben. I say, if you're taking your wife somewhere to celebrate her birthday, I recommend a club in Shibuya. Just go to a club, because then you can use your favourite phrase. It was great to club together. when the morning comes around,
yes,
you can deploy your new favourite phrase. But yeah, good
Shibuya,
luck, Ben.
Century Club.
Just realised we've offered no real credible answer yet, though.
I'm giving you credible answer. I'm giving you recommendations of clubs. Everyone talks about club
football
womb.
And ham.
Football ham.
That's not romantic.
Everyone talks
right.
about womb, when, if you ever read the guidebooks, like everyone says club womb because it's got the biggest disco ball, but it's not always open. It's not always open to everyone. Or like all the ones up the hill, go to Century Club or go to just Century Club. It's got everything. It's got a bit of everything.
What if she? On a complete opposite way to that, an alternative, if you like Lost in Translation, why not go to the jazz bar at the top of Park Hyatt Tower?
Mm.
That's quite nice.
Yeah.
Have you been up there?
Lovely. No, I've not been up there. I went to the one in... I went to the Hyatt in Roppongi because it's got... it's the brother/sister club of a members club I was once part of. But again, access to it was just... Because it was like they've got a reciprocal agreement with... the club I was a part of in London, because in London it's actually quite hard to get somewhere to sit down on a Saturday night, so members bars are actually quite, they're not as arsehole-y, so to speak, as you would usually think. Like, I would think anyone who's a member of a members club is a bit of a div, because they want exclusivity, etc., they don't want to be bothered, but actually, on a Saturday night, or a Friday night, it's actually quite hard to get a seat, so members club clubs kind of come into their own, and they had a reciprocal agreement, the club that I was a member of, with the one in Roppongi, which is at the top of, you know, that big hotel. It's got a great view. I think it's the Park Hyatt or something in Roppongi. And right. You've got this beautiful view. And to gain access to this club, which was just kind of a hotel bar, really, at the top of the building, with, again, the beautiful view. You had to, like, bring a letter with you. So I brought this letter with you, and even that wasn't enough. And they had to ring up, cause the time difference didn't work because it was like 1 a.m. here, and it
But really you got
was...
in right after all
eventually,
this. Eventually,
yeah. And again, there wasn't that much to it. We just sat down, bought like a 50 quid whiskey, and then buggered off again. Headed off to Gas Panic 2 in Roppongi.
Didn't really sell it to me.
Terrible.
After all that, even the letter, yeah, and it just cost you 50 quid for a drink. Yeah. Shocking.
Crazy.
Avoid there, Ben. Actually, the next question is also from another Ben.
Hello,
I
Ben.
Love the way... Maybe it's the same Ben, because both... This is getting forensic now, but the last one was Ben from the Midlands, and the next one is Ben from Yorkshire.
Do you reckon he's on a train?
So, maybe he's on...
Not off.
On a train, travelling northwards from Midlands to Yorkshire, whilst... shooting out faxes to the Abroad Japan podcast. What is Ben from Yorkshire's message, Pete?
Is there a certain way, Chris and Pete, to say no to someone in Japan?
No.
Is it really rude and abrupt to say no? Many people have given me advice, all different, about how to say no or no thank you. I was listening to your podcast and thought you two are trustworthy resources to help me not only not cause an international incident in 7-Eleven or Family Mart when I don't want my food heated up. Thanks again, Ben from Yorkshire. Surely you always want your food heated up, Ben from Yorkshire.
I mean, always.
Always.
I mean, I had some fried chicken today from Family Mart, and they sure as hell put that in the microwave before they gave it to me.
Right.
Well, you know the answer to this, don't you, Pete? You've learned extensive Japanese. I'll hand this over to you. What do you know?
I haven't got a bloody clue. I know how to say no, but I mean...
Oh.
And like, kind of, if someone offers you something you don't want, and you're like, oh, please, don't... Like, you just repeat no loads of times. So, yeah, I don't really know how to say no. That's me. I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Well, even your pronunciation of no in English is different from mine.
Exactly.
No.
And as discussed before, I was saying the word house every time I was saying the word, like, ie is house, and I believe ie is no in Japanese, so I was saying house every time instead of no. So I can't even get that right.
Do you want this ramen?
House!
You don't say no in Japan, you just don't say no. There's always a way around it. For example, really annoying way is people just... say, oh, it's difficult. I just say, oh, it's difficult. Oh, muzukashi. That's like the polite way of saying that it's difficult. Another way you'd say, just like, daijoubu desu. It's okay. I'm okay. Daijoubu desu. Ii desu is another way. But there's literally all sorts of ways. And yeah, they don't ever say ie. They don't ever say straight up no, because it just comes across as really rude. So that's one of the ways you know if someone isn't very good at Japanese, or if they're a real beginner, they will say ie. They'll just say ie, which means no, but nobody ever says that. In the same way, a lot of new beginners to the Japanese language always use watashi. Mm. They always use the subject to refer to themselves. They don't really do that in Japan.
Mm.
It's just do it on context. So yeah, I'll just say daijoubu desu.
Yeah, sorted. I'm fine, thanks. It's very British, isn't it? I'm fine, thanks.
Sorted. Daijoubu desu. And just shake your hand. Just shake your head. That's another one.
Daijoubu desu and give a withering nod. One.
Yeah, the nod of approval. But I find it's one of the most interesting aspects of Japanese culture. It's just that it's they're so indirect, you know. They just won't straight up say no. And we talked about this in a previous podcast where they do just it's just really annoying. It can be quite annoying at times, to be honest. But yeah, just say daijoubu and you're sorted.
Sorted. Lovely old job.
Sorted. That's it for now, though, isn't it?
It is.
That is. It's coffee time.
It's coffee time.
I've noticed I'm losing my voice slowly throughout this podcast.
It's probably contracting my cold, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Nightmare, huh?
That's probably what's happened. It's travelled all the way down the internet to come out of the microphone.
They're giving you a virus.
Ruined my voice. But in the meantime, guys, do send in your questions to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week, hopefully with less colds and more voices. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a good one, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Yay. Bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.